Okay, so before we go into the Word of God, it's family meeting, okay? And God has laid it upon my heart to tell everyone here, and everybody should just be mindful of it, that we are not supposed to be doing things the same way we've been doing them from January to now as we move forward, okay? So people come and say things are changing, the world is changing, and then we are static. We are stagnant. We are doing things the same way. Okay? God is opening up, giving you ideas. And you need to move out of that enclosure that you have put yourself in and begin to explore other ideas that will make your life a lot better. Amen. God is not going to drop a lot in your phone. Amen. Don't be deceived. Amen. Hallelujah. God can move somebody to send you money. Hallelujah. But that's not going to take you far. Amen. You know, there's a difference between learning to fish and being yourself and somebody giving you fish. Amen. 2025 is about you knowing how to fish and getting fish. Amen. So if you do any kind of thing that you do, you need to look at it and say, what is the trend in this job I'm doing or in this particular thing I'm doing? What is the trend in the near future? And then you begin to change and align. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can imagine that. I don't know when last I saw a matchbox. I don't know when last I saw it. You know what a matchbox is? Matches. Shannon? Abby? I don't know when last I saw it. Okay? But I know that I always see fire in the house. How it happens, I don't know. Okay? So. And some people still do use it, okay? But if you are selling matches, keep selling matches and then find the modern ways to create fire and add it to it. That's what I'm saying. So if you are an accountant, okay, and you are used to the mundane way of doing things, you need to learn and embrace the new way of doing things. Hallelujah. Amen. It's for your good. And it's for the good of all. I don't know who needs to know that, but you need to do it. So if you are, hallelujah. So if you are a farmer, you have to move from the manual to the one that is mechanized. Hallelujah. And then there's even a better one than mechanized. Abi, hallelujah. We are in the age where you have to be at par, but be careful. Amen. God be blessed you in Jesus' name. So whoever that is for, please make use of it. Don't worry. We won't use AI to teach the Bible. Don't worry. Artificial intelligence cannot teach the Bible. Hallelujah. It can help us bring up verses in the Bible, but it cannot be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, we open our Bibles to John chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 1, and I'll keep reading till I am exhausted. Hallelujah. So my question to you is this morning, if you have a conversation with God, with Christ, what would you ask him? So if suddenly before you, you're having a conversation with God, what would you ask God? Hallelujah. John chapter 4, I read from verse 1. It says, therefore, Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" For Jesus had no dealing with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Then the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Let me take a pause there. So it says in verse 6, it says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well." Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Hallelujah. Amen. I think somebody needs to read John chapter 4 and verse 6. It says Jesus was wearied and then he chose to rest. Hallelujah. Amen. It says now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore being wearied from his journey sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour of the day. You have to be able to discern. There's no Superman on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Even if Christ could rest, then it is important for you to understand your limits and then take a rest. And when you are taking a rest, it's not that you only take a physical rest. You also take a rest and then you begin to ruminate and go over things and fire yourself up by the word of God. He says, in this time, God is speaking to us by his Son. Hallelujah. And so the things that we see his Son do in the scriptures, those are the things that we need to emulate and also do. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says there that he said to the woman, "Give me," in verse 7, he says, "A woman of Samaria came to the water, came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." Verse 10 says that Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and would have given you living water." The response of the woman is what I want us to look at. The woman says to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself?" Amen. You know that on Thursday, when we were looking at the scriptures, we were looking at the fact that Jesus was addressing his disciples, and he said, "Who do men say I am?" I think that's Matthew chapter 16. He was saying, who do men say I am? And then after they told him everything that men said that he was or he is, he now asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Hallelujah. So he asked, "Who do you say I am?" And everybody went quiet. And I said on Thursday that who I am and what you say and what people say I am are two different things. Hallelujah. Amen. Because people can misinterpret. People may not be able to get beyond a particular point and then they stop and say, "Oh, this person, I just can't place him. This is who he is." Hallelujah. And then who you think I am is different from who I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Except you know me very well, that's when you'll be able to say, "This is who he is." Okay? So, interesting thing is that when I'm walking and we get into a point where you have to make a point, I make a point, and then going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then everything gets heated up, okay? I just laugh and I leave it. I say, "We'll come back here." So when the chips are down, when we come back here, I said, if you have done what I told you from the beginning, but it's good for everybody to explore and say, this is what I said. If you have done what I told you from the beginning, we'll not be here. And then somebody gets unhappy about that, and then he begins to argue, and I keep quiet, and I don't say anything, because that's not what I'm supposed to do. Hallelujah. I trained myself over the years that when you bucketize issues, so this one issue, when you finish with it, if Mr. Zajiri and I now, if we have a disagreement, I deal with it, and then the next thing, I tell him another thing, and then we are moving. That's how life is supposed to be. Amen. Now, so someone will see, if someone sees us arguing, and then look and see that this guy is a troublesome person, but then you do not know what I will do after, or how I will approach him after, unless you wait and see everything. So one particular day, one guy came to me and said, I've observed that each time there is a kind of argument, once it ends, that ends with you. And I smiled. The guy is a friend of mine in the office, and he's a reverend. He's an ordained reverend we call him Revo. And then he said, how do you manage to do it? I said, it's very simple. Sometimes we misplace the object of our focus. Okay? So if I have a problem with what you are saying, it doesn't mean I have a problem with you. Hallelujah. There are two different things. If I have a problem with what you are saying, it doesn't mean I have a problem with you. So if I set an exam and I ask questions, the way each student will answer is different. So when I'm marking the script, I will have a problem with the things that I've written down, but not with the student. And then if I have a problem with things that I've written down, you're going to call them, and then you're going to explain things then and expect them to work with it. Okay? But oftentimes, what everybody does is that instead of you having a problem with the things that I've written down, you have a problem with the person that wrote the thing down. There are two different things. So the way you see me, or the way you think I am is different from the way I actually am if you do not know me. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why if in my household I tell them I'm going to do this and they don't believe, and I tell Mr. Sajiri that doesn't leave my household that I'm going to do this and he believes, it becomes a concern for me because I expect that those in my household that live with me on a daily basis should know better. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus was speaking, he said, Who do they say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And then they said, some say you are liars, some say you are this and that. And then he says, who do you say that I am? Meaning that he has to get to the point that you are actually I don't know the right English to use now, but you are in sync with who he is, so you actually understand him before any other thing can happen. And then if you go further down, he said, after he was able to establish, then he said, when Peter answered him and said, you are the Christ. And I said that the Christ means is Messiah, okay? And the idea the Jews had of Messiah and the Messiah that they are seeing, there are two different things. And that's where they had a problem. What they were expecting the Messiah to come, they were expecting somebody probably with the Roman soldier attire with a spear and is leading an army and is destroying their enemies. But then, you know, the way God is, God was dealing with things from the root. Amen. God was really with the root cause of things. So usually when you have issues, when we have issues around, the problem that everybody, I mean, if you go into those that have soft skills, they will tell you that we need to find the root cause of this problem so that we can deal with it. So you can quench fire, and it looks like you have quenched fire, but then you haven't quenched fire. There will be a problem until you have actually gotten to the root of it. You know, that period when that ruler was in Nigeria, that we could, all of us could not afford, there was no petrol. And that year, I think in Ibadan, they went into, you know, Agala, the forest in Ibadan. People stormed the forest. It was a dreadful forest. People never wanted to enter it. If you get into that forest, you will see padlocks with red tapes that people have knocked on the tree and everywhere. And it was funny. I don't know how true it is, but that period when people were looking for firewood, people forgot the fact that this is a dreadful forest. They just saw that there is wood in this forest and they needed to survive. And so people stormed the forest and they cut down trees. And then some people said that some padlocks fell off the trees, and people that were mad for some time, different parts of the city, their heads started popping up. I don't know. But you see, sometimes when we say a president is wicked, those people will not say that we had a wicked president. They will say, thank God, there was no fear. Hallelujah. But, you know, so that period, it was interesting. that if you set firewood, I don't know how many people know firewood. If you set firewood and use it to cook, and then after a while, the intensity of the fire goes down, ashes cover everything up, and then if it's your last penny, please don't leave your pot of soup on it, on that fire, because even though the ashes are there, it still gives us heat. Okay, and if you think that, oh, the fire is out, it's done with, then you are going to have yourself to blame. Okay, so you have to, if you really want that fire to be out, you need to go to the core of whatever firewood you have set and douse the fire there. Otherwise, if you blow off the ashes again, you see that, you just see that it begins to glow again. Okay, so usually when you want to deal with issues, you must get the root cause of it and you deal with it. Okay? Hallelujah. And so God's intention of sending the Messiah was to deal with the root cause of the problem, not to give us a superficial thing as a victory today, so victory tomorrow. He made it that it was a permanent victory that he gave to us by the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when Peter responded and said, "You are the Christ," he said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you," because it was difficult for anybody then to look at Christ and look at the picture of the Messiah they were expecting and align the two together. And so Christ was asking them, and that's why Christ said, "Who do you say that I am?" And if you look further down, he said, after that, he began to explain. Once he saw that, he understood that he is the Christ, then he began to explain to them the sequence of his mission, the remaining part of his mission, how he's going to die, and all that. And then, at a point, Peter missed it again. And Peter was like, Lie, far behind you, you cannot. Hallelujah. Amen. You will not die. And then Christ said, No. Get thee behind me, Satan. And now, was Christ addressing Peter? Everybody was talking to Peter now. Who spoke to him? Where is it? Uh-huh. But then he said, he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He was responding to what Peter said. Hallelujah. But he wasn't responding to the person of Peter. He was responding to the exactly, which was what I was talking about, the fact that when you are addressing issues, you do not address the person. You address the things that have come out of the person or the spirit behind what has come out. And so when Christ was speaking, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." It was Peter that said it. But Christ could see beyond it that then, if the Spirit had revealed to Peter that this is the Messiah, okay, at this point, it wouldn't have been Peter speaking. Hallelujah. And then Christ addressed Satan. And that's how we are supposed to deal with life. You need to address the root cause of matters, and you need to see beyond just the person that is speaking to you. You have to be able to discern in the spirit. Amen. So, who they were expecting, like we were painting, I was trying to paint the picture, was someone that will come and then will help them bully all their enemies. But then God knows that the main enemy is not the people that they see. Hallelujah. The enemy is the root cause of this, the devil is the root cause of the problem, and that's what God was dealing with. Now, back to John chapter 4. The woman at the well, God said to her, Jesus said to her, John chapter 4, verse 9, says, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you a drink.' The woman said, 'Sir, I have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons?' Jesus answered to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of life, springing up into everlasting life.' Then the woman said, 'Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband.'" Hallelujah. Amen. Go call your husband. Now, if you look at the sequence of these things, the woman, maybe all her life, she always comes to the well. fetch water. So immediately he told her that, because she didn't analyze it, immediately he told her that if you know who is talking to you, then you ask. And because at this point she had not even queried him further to know that this is the Messiah. He's just saying that, okay, you know what? If you know you have water to give me, no problem. Now you give me the water, and then I will not come here to draw again. She simply just wanted to get away from the pressures of this. I said, this guy says he can give me water, he'll give me water. But then, you know, when God is asking us questions and is dealing with us, he wants to move us from a level of understanding to a higher level of dealing with him. Amen. Hallelujah. When life pressure comes, I know everybody does not like to hear this, but when the pressure of life comes, it is an opportunity for you to become a better version of yourself before that pressure or during that pressure came, when that pressure came. Hallelujah. So when we face examinations and we go for an exam, okay, that they are asking us questions, the things that we have been taught, and we're supposed to reproduce it. And once we are done, they say, okay, you are done with this, and then we move to the next level. Okay, so immediately Christ got our attention, and she was like, okay, give me water. Then Christ asked her a very fundamental question. Which, number one, the two of them, they had not met before. He's a Samaritan, and she's asking him, why are you a Jew? Why are you asking me, a Samaritan, for water? So obviously, there was no relationship between the two of them, and they do not know each other. And so for him asking her, go and get me your husband. And then the woman said, I have no husband. Then she said, you have well said, I have no husband. And then, for you have five husbands, and the one who you have now is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Hallelujah. Amen. So, it was giving her an x-ray of herself. So first, it's been able to get her attention. Okay? So, oftentimes, when God is trying to get our attention, we have this rebellious reaction on the inside. Okay? And I've said it over and over again, that when somebody says, let us pray, why would you not want to pray? Do you get what I'm saying? If someone says, let us pray, or let's praise God, why would you not want to pray or praise God? Because the ideal thing for you is that it should be a natural thing for you to be like, oh, let us pray, and then let us praise God. Okay? Now, even if the way the person is praying is not your way, you will praise God and pray to God in your own way. Hallelujah. Because it's an individual thing. Amen. And so he said to her that you have five husbands, and now the one you are now with is not your husband, in that you have spoken truly. The next verse, please. The man said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on these mountains, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Jesus said to a woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says that, and when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I will speak to you, am he. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see here again that there was an expectation of the Messiah. Okay, and at this point, Jesus has started his ministry because his disciples went to look for food for him, right, and for them. So he wasn't the boy, little boy, or in the synagogue or anything. He has started his ministry, and the woman is saying that the Messiah is going to come, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. So that's an expectation of the Messiah. And now, when he started speaking to her, he wasn't speaking to her in a language that she could easily relate with. Because he's saying that if you know who is talking to you, you will ask and I will give you living water. And then the woman, out of her weariness, just said, you know, God, don't worry. I don't want to be coming to draw water again. Okay? And then a conversation happened. And then things began to become clearer to her. And then he said to her that, Then the man said, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I will speak to you, I'm he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? That one is another matter. Hallelujah. The next verse. The woman then left a water pot and went away into the sea and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Okay, so the conversation she has had with Jesus has sparked up meditation within her. Okay, because she knows and she has an expectation of what the Messiah will come to do. Hallelujah. He says, the Messiah will tell us all things. And now he has only given her a glimpse, a clip of her life. Hallelujah. You know, when you're in the studio, everything we watch on TV, they're actually in clips. Okay? So they will record a particular portion, record this portion, and then they begin to join them together. You know, I had an opportunity of working at the Broadcasting Corporation once. That was when I just left secondary school. I was waiting for university. And then the church where we were then, that I was attending then, they bought the camera and then they said, they needed somebody to manage it. And I looked like the best behaved boy in the church. I don't know how they ever thought that I was the best behaved anyway. So they said, please, they nominated me to go and learn. So I was going around with those cameramen at BCUS in Ibadan. I was going around with them for 6 months. I was going around. So they taught us to film drama. They taught us to film burial. They taught us to film church services. They just taught everything. And then, this one I did is a whole lot better. Hallelujah. But then it was in the studio that I learned that, you know, when you are watching news, for instance, okay, you see sometimes the presenter is looking at you. And then sometimes the presenter is looking this way. And sometimes they make a mistake. You see that the presenter is looking this way, and then they are showing this way. So actually, in the studio, there are like three or four cameras in the studio, and they are in front like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? And there's a red light on top of each camera. So when the man at the console is on this camera, the red light on that camera will come on. And so they always prep everybody in the studio and say, look, when you see this red light, face that camera. Okay, but some people forget, and then they keep looking straight, and they do that. So once they want to start, they're going to start counting down. When they want to start recording, they're going to start counting down, and then they tell you that once we get to, we say, VTL, roll tape, then we say action, then you begin to speak. Okay? Now, when they say VTL, roll tape, action, they start the camera, and then you begin to talk. As I'm talking, they begin to talk. And then if I make a mistake, they cut it. And then they keep that portion. That the one that you have said, the good thing they want to hear, they'll keep it. And I say, okay, what did you say last? They say, you know, the manual way Nigeria does things. There's no script. All those films that you see, they don't write anything down. They say, what did you say last? I said, they don't write anything down. Okay, so where you are going to start next? You start from, they don't write anything down. You know what they want to do? The first clip, where you ended with, they don't write anything down. This new one, you start with, they don't write anything down. So between there and there, they can cut. So this one, Christ showed her just a clip of her life. That this one you are with, that's all he needed to tell her. That this one you are with is not your husband. And in that, you have said the right thing. Amen. If you know Christ and you encounter him, if you have an expectation of Christ and you encounter him, you'll be able to align yourself with the things that he's saying. Now, he didn't do more than this statements to this woman. And then she went and said, I have seen a man who has told me everything. Could he be the Christ? Meaning that she saw that the things that he was doing was consistent with the expectation that she had about the Messiah. Amen. When God is asking us questions, we need to pause and think and say, is this thing that these questions that are coming to you, how consistent is it with my expectation from God? Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And then the next verse says, then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples ought him to eat, and then his rabbi eats. Next one. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And then he said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent him and to finish his work. Hallelujah. Do you not say there are still 4 months, blah, blah, blah. So now he has started a reaction with the woman. The woman has gone into the city and he knows that there will be a coming of the people. That's why he said, already what he wanted was to get the attention of the people. I mean, Christ does not go into a place and he's just there for the purpose of being there alone. Hallelujah. He's there to make the will of his Father known. Hallelujah. And first thing he did was to get the attention of the woman. And the woman was able to align her expectation of the Messiah with the things, the encounter she had with him. If you look at your journey throughout January, from January to now, that's the shortest you can even look at. Or let us do, the shortest will be yesterday to now. And if you think that nothing happened to you yesterday, okay, in the month of November till now, okay, if you look at the things that has happened and the questions that life has thrown at you and the way that God has been able to answer those questions on your behalf, then you begin to align your actions and your thoughts along the line of the word of God. Everyone says that in this time, he's speaking to us through his son or by his son. Amen. Hallelujah. Anything, nothing spectacular, and the most spectacular thing that can happen that will come your way is the word of God. Amen. It's not anything that is going to be flying wings. Hallelujah. It's not anything that is going to be thunderous, any voice that is going to be thunderous, or anyone that is disappearing like my voice, and then it looks like he's coming. No. The only thing spectacular that will happen to you is that the word of God will come to you. Amen. And what you make of that word of God that comes to you will go a long way in determining the path that you take. Hallelujah. Amen. The path that you take is dependent on the word of God and how you receive it and accept it. Hallelujah. In verse 39, he says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's interesting. That means that those 5 husbands that woman dealt with, in her mind, that's all that she ever did. Or maybe she kept those things were secret to her that many people do not know about. Okay? But he coming to tell her about those things. Like, he has told me everything. He says, he told me all that I ever did. And so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them with days, and many more believed because of his own word. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, if anything spectacular will happen to us, it has to be by the word of God that comes to you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there is the word of God to us, and then the word of God to you. Amen. So when the woman had gone, she went, and then he told them, look, I think this is the Christ. And then they came. And then they came to hear him, and he dealt with them, and then he said they believed, not because of what the woman said, but because of his own word to them. Meaning that as he was with them, as he was talking to them, as he stayed with them for 2-3 days, he was addressing them. And each one could find Rema, a word for now, in what he was saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Our walk with God has to be that consistent with him. That we are picking out So these guys were not, they were not even bothered about whether he was Jewish or he was Samaritan. Hallelujah. All they were looking for was this Messiah will come and he will tell us all things. And what he was doing was aligning with the expectation. Amen. And you know, don't forget, and you see, the Bible tells us to test all spirits. Okay? Because someone says that somebody told me everything I ever done. That's why I followed him. You have to test all spirits. Hallelujah. And you have to be searching. Because there's always a counterfeit of any original thing. So what Christ has done here, I mean, there are so many counterfeits around. Hallelujah. And then they'll come to you, tell you, and then you say, this person has told me all things. So Pastor Ryan said that the Messiah will tell us also. I'm not saying that you should not test all spirits. I'm saying when the word of God comes to you, the word of God, not the word of man. Hallelujah. See what this Bible was saying here. It's saying that even though the woman came to them and told them, they came to him and heard, and it was his own word to them that they went with. Hallelujah. It wasn't the woman's word, because that's the woman's encounter. Everybody's encounter is going to be different. Hallelujah. And you are going to be dealing with God from that point, the place of your encounter with him. If Psalm 150 says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Okay? That excellent greatness cannot be explained except you have that encounter with him. That's where you're going to be able to say, this is how great God is to you. Amen. When you have an encounter with God, it gives you a better understanding of who he is. Okay? And then you're able to deal with him. It's not all the time that you sit down and be asking God and asking God for things. Hallelujah. There are times that you sit down with him and do pure worship so that you can find out who he is and how he's dealing with you. So at every point, you know, I usually will get agitated if I'm going somewhere and I'm running late. So, because I don't like going anywhere late. Number one, I go there early enough to get a good parking space, to get a place to sit. And then, sometimes, God will be delaying me. And then I'll be like, no, the time. And then I'll rush, I'll get there. And then he'll say, well, I was trying to tell you that you should hold on so that these things will be. So eventually, anytime I'm trying to go somewhere, and God is prompting me, I get to know, understand it, because it has got to a point that I found out that each time these things happen, this is God telling me something. Now, because he knows that I'm going to get somewhere, I always want to get somewhere early. He doesn't tell me to get there late. Okay? Sometimes I get to a place 30 minutes before time. Sometimes I get there 30 minutes before time. And I will just sit down in my car and be lounging in the car and be waiting. And then I'll go and do other things. But sometimes you say, look, we need to do these things before you go here. Because when you get there, you will need what I'm asking you to do. You have to understand how God deals with you. Okay? You have to understand how God deals with you so that when he's asking you questions, your responses will be along the line of someone that is responsive to his word and is willing to take that every bit of his word and act upon it, just like this Samaritan woman. Because all he told her, he didn't tell her by force, believe me. All he told her was to set things in perspective for her, and then she began to fall in line. Amen. I mean, God has given us a will. I think he's given man will. And that will, I've said before you, life and death. It's your choice to choose. But because he said he has said before you, he always gives you that ability or that opportunity to differentiate and to determine which way to go. He says, in this time, he's speaking to you by his son. Hallelujah. And his son is his word. So if you're not going to be skillful in the word of God, you are not going to be able to hear God speak. Amen. Hallelujah. People will come and say, this is what God is saying. That's what the Samaritan woman said to them. But then you have to be able to say, this is what God said to me by his word. Amen. Very important. You know, when we were growing up, it was mandatory that we go to church with my mom or with our parents. So initially, my mom used to be a Muslim. So we only went to church on Christmas, Easter, and New Year, because he had an agreement with my father that, you know what, since my father was a Christian, he said, you know what, just take my children to church on Christmas Day, on Easter, and on New Year. If you like, you don't go to church. So every Christmas, she would buy us Christmas clothes, hallelujah, and we dress up, and then we go to church. Then it's that same Christmas clothes we use for Easter, because it's the only Christmas we wear it now. And next time you see us is Easter. So we wear it again Easter on New Year's Day. Okay? But when she goes, when she takes us to church, she will sit down outside in the car and thank God for megaphone. You see, that was like, in the car. Then, so when we come back into the car, she will now ask us, what did you learn? And play for me. I cannot remember just how many minutes. I will also remember. She said, but I heard this. How come you cannot remember? I just be laughing. Because as children, we will be playing in there. And then when God will get those things were, it's the word of God that's coming to her. Those were founding and building blocks. And so when God eventually get her attention, it didn't take who, the person that God sent to her, it didn't take the person 5 minutes to say, look, this is the problem. So she had a dream. Okay? She said she had a dream and she was looking for somebody to interpret the dream. Because that's how she grew up. She was looking for somebody to interpret the dream. And then she made up her mind that whoever interprets this dream, okay, that's where I'm going to worship. And thank God she got ordered her steps to where she could get the interpretation. And then she became a Christian. Okay? And then we'll go to without the church. And then we'll go without the church. And then we ended up in Aladra Church. And then they'll say we should pray. They'll give us Psalms to read. They'll say read Psalm 30, Psalm 51. Psalm 63. No, Psalm 64. They just give all those Psalms at night. Me, I've not read chemistry or biology. Someone has say, I should read Psalm 30, Psalm this one. When my mom wakes us up, I say, we are supposed to read Psalm. I say, okay, no problem. We should read Psalm. So she will read. Then I say, oh, I'll read the next one. Me, I'm sleeping. After a while, she will not wake us again. She will now read all the Psalms. And then she will wake us up and then she will pray. Eh? You know that everything she was doing, all this was praying for us. Majority of it was going back to her. Because she's the one that is reading the word. Okay? She's the one that is soaking it in. So sometimes when she's reading those psalms, she will go back and say, I don't understand this part of this psalm. She read it today, read it tomorrow. I don't understand this part of this psalm. Then he will explain to her what the part of the psalm is. But you know, people like me never got to understand those things she got to understand. Because it was God's word to her. Amen. Hallelujah. When things began to be clearer to me as a person, and then I began to read the Bible myself, God's word came to me, hallelujah, and I looked at it and I started following God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. And then one day, you know, it's customary that your parents, they do baptism for you, Abby. They will do baptism for you, and then they will give you baptism manual, Abby, and then they'll give you Godfather, and my mother's Godfather, and I gave her a baptism manual. Hallelujah. Amen. Because that's the way the word of God has built me up. Okay, so when it got to a point, I said, now these things are becoming clearer. Come and understand how God does these things. And so when I started showing her the scriptures, I said, okay, no problem. I see it in a better light. And when she was going, because I'm in Lagos, she's in Ibadan. When she was going to church, the church said, you have to do baptism for you, blah, blah, blah. So you need a Godfather. I need the baptism name. She just carried her food. I said, well, look, they say I need a Godfather and I need baptism name. I said, no problem. This will be your baptism name and I'm coming and I'll be your Godfather. Amen. It's how God's word comes to you that will make you receive it and understand it. Amen. So we took away our Islamic name. And so when our sisters are calling her, they are confused. Sometimes they want to call her Islamic name. And then I give her a baptismal name. She said, No. This is my name. This is my name now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to receive God's word by yourself and for yourself. So that when you are telling people, when you are doing evangelism and you are telling people, when people come, they will receive it themselves. It says that sorry, I'm coming. Micah chapter 4. It says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. Hallelujah. Amen. He will teach us his ways. Amen. So what the responsibility that we owe any other person is to be able to draw them to that mountain of God so that they will be taught God's way by God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. All of you are sleeping. You are sleeping. The Bible says, for out of Zion the Lord shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Let's just talk to him that the word of God that we receive from now will make a difference in our lives. As we receive the word, we mix it with faith. And then we begin to follow him according to his word. Let's talk to him this morning. Talk to him and give him praise. We'll take the communion this morning. It's the first Sunday of the month. We'll go in the power of his might and the strength of his might. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup and after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Father, we thank you for these elements of the communion. We do this in pure obedience to your word. But even as we take these elements, thank you because your very life close on the inside of us. All yokes are broken. Every need is met in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you praise that we take it with understanding and indeed with an expectation. In Jesus' name we pray.
This is my body broken for you. Remember me, this is my
with anything that you are targeting, as you take the communion, just believe. He says he's the new, he's the mediator of the new covenant. His blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. His blood pleads on our behalf. Just thank him.